Welcome to Kinship Care Liverpool podcast. My name's David. As always, thank you for another week of the best, the worst, and in betweens of being a kinship carer, kinship kid, and everything in between. As always, if you want to get in touch with us, the easiest way is through our social media, through the Facebook, through the Instagram, through the X, through our main website. There's lots of ways of getting in touch with us. If you are subscribing, you can obviously comment. My email is always on any of the episodes that you're listening to, so you can simply click on it, ask questions, make suggestions. If you want to talk, please let us know. And talking is really one of the things that I was going to be talking about today, which is about life stories. I've done an episode about life stories previously, but this is more about getting your own story out there. Obviously, I've mentioned this a few times that I'm in the process of writing a kinship novel of sorts. It's still sort of in its early stages. I've more or less, I say in the early stage, I've more or less finished it. It's more just in the editing side at this point. But what it's really made me aware of is just how many different stories there are out there. If you go to a local bookshop, you go to Waterstones or wherever it would be, and you go to the real life stories, and you'll see hundreds, probably far too many, real life stories about abuse and abductions and child problems and problems with injuries and recovering from illnesses, those type of things. And it's really interesting that when you actually go through all of them, none of them are about kinship. There's when you think about child abuse and child neglect and all of that type of thing, the fostering side of things, there's so much in regards to that. And it's usually about that person sort of getting this all off their chest. And I suppose this is kind of almost like a call to arms that people should really be doing this, that they should have a look at what's going on in their life. And even if they just write it as a short story, as just a couple of bullet points, sometimes it can be really therapeutic and helpful to actually just sit down and actually write what's going on in the form of a diary or a book or, as I say, whatever it is that you feel comfortable with. Myself, I am... my background is writing. I have a writing degree. So I've been writing for probably decades. I've never been not officially published. I've been published in various ways. I've self-published myself. But when you look at things that are written, it's really interesting to see how many stories there are in regards to essentially the miserable side of life. I don't want to say it in that way, but people like Kathy Glass, who's great, fantastic writer. If you don't follow her or see her, she's great. She was a foster carer, and whenever she's had these instances and things like that, she's written a story about them. I think she's written about 30, 40 books at this point. And they're all about, people being in the foster system, her dealings with them and that type of thing. And they are generally really, really interesting. When I started when I started this kinship journey, obviously, I've said this before, we were classed as friends of family fostering. So I assumed, and we all know what you assume, I assumed that we were fostering. So I had no idea what kinship was. I had no idea what was going on. So I reached out to Kathy Glass through Twitter to say, we're being offered this and this, and contact and things like that. Have you any advice? And she gave really good advice, pointed me to some really interesting textbooks, and she was really, really helpful. I would recommend if you're interested in that type of thing, I definitely would read her books, because she's very good at sort of delving through all of the red tape that comes with the care system. And obviously she's here in the UK, it's British, so she's got quite a good knowledge of things that happen with that contact, your reunification of parents, and obviously the removal of children. So it's really interesting to do that. As I say, I'm in the middle, and I say middle, I'm at the very end of writing a book, which is sort of telling my story, telling our story as a family. And it's something that's been really therapeutic to me. And I definitely would recommend people to do this. It would be interesting to sort of hear people's stories. And a lot of people, this is the one thing I would always say. You know, a lot of people, you know, they're not very good at writing. They're not very good at, you know, the grammar side. And I'm terrible at grammar, if I'm honest. If it wasn't for Microsoft Word, you know, my words would be all over the place. You know, I'm quite happy that it will tell me, you know, when I'm using words grammatically incorrect and things like that. I'm just not a grammatically, and maybe it's because of the way that I was taught writing wise. I went through the sort of looking at Sylvia Plath and Hubert Selby Jr., where you didn't really need to worry about grammar. It was more about the content. And that's the thing. If you think, well, yeah, and I've said this before, if you think, yeah, I've got this story, I want to tell it, but I don't know how, you don't have to write it. You could simply do what I'm doing right now, which is you go onto your phone. There will usually be a recording aspect. I've got obviously a different version for the podcast, but there generally will be a microphone, you know, where you can record, and you can just sit there and talk. You know, sometimes if you actually sit there and you talk into, you know, to tell this story, even if it's only for, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, this might be really therapeutic for you. You know, a lot of people, you know, once you've got it off your chest, once you've got that story out there, sometimes it doesn't feel as bad as everyone says, or sometimes it is, and you actually finally acknowledge just the pain and the problems that you've had to deal with. And that can really help. You know, the good thing is, especially if you've got a Samsung one, is if you do record using the microphone section, there is an option where you can do like speech to text. So it won't be perfect, but it will sort of write it out in text form for you. So if you've done that and you think, well, actually, I do want someone to read it, I don't want them hearing my voice, then you can do it like that. So I definitely would recommend people doing that. In regards to life stories, it's interesting when you read people's life stories, and very much, it's not like a story. It's not a story at all. It's very much a very, very, I don't want to say bland. Bland's not the right word, but it's very static, and, you know, it's to the point, and it's very dry to read. It's very rare that you'll read them and they will be interesting, which is sad, really. They're very much a cut and paste. You know, this is where you were born. This is what happened. This is what happened with the judge. This is what happened for yourself. You now live here. This is where you first came. You meet these people. You know, it's done like that. In a way, it's great because it gives you all that information. It's almost like a Wikipedia page of your life, but without giving you any of that context or any of that emotion. You know, why did you come there? You know, you can get the bare bones and the basics of you came here because of A, B, C, D, and E. But unless you've got, and this is because, and this is, you know, this is how you felt when this happened, you didn't want to go, or you did want to go, you didn't have a choice, it was done in your best interest. You know, there's very little voice in regards to a life story, which is something I've always really advocated for, of saying, you know, maybe this is something that should be written more professionally. Not saying that they don't do it professionally, as I say, it's more, they do it in like a legal aspect of writing it, so that it's very technical and it's to the point. Whereas without having any of that emotion about any of the back and forth of emotions from it, kind of like what we do here. You know, I think if I actually picked up a topic, which I do, obviously I pick up a topic and then I write a script of what I'm going to say, and then I sort of go weave in and out of what I'm writing. If I read it word for word, it would probably feel like very robotic and very static and very stagnant, and people probably wouldn't want to listen. The thing I kind of like about the podcast itself is that it is just me talking. It's just me telling you a story. This is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about life stories. And it's really a case of really getting to grips with that. There are times when you do want to tell a story. I come on here sometimes wanting to say, look, this is how I feel about SGOs. This is how I feel about the contact system. This is how I feel about why things are the way that they are. You know, it's really difficult sometimes to actually get that down on paper. And one of the things that I'm doing with this new book is I'm telling the story, but I'm also putting context behind it. Now, that, again, is very dry. It's very dry to the point. It's legal, technical, but it needs to be there. Otherwise, it's that thing of, if you start talking about SGOs and contact plans and all this stuff, if you don't know what these things mean, it won't mean anything to you. And so it's really about sort of trying to figure out how to get those things across, because you do want to be able to tell people Really simply and easily, this is how life is for a kinship child, for a kinship kid, for the family, for the immediate family, for the birth parents, for whoever it is. One of the things I would say, especially in regards to those life stories, is that it really is something that needs to be shared around. One of the things that that really, it doesn't happen, but it really should, is that when they go into school, when they go into nursery or things like that, this is something that really probably should be given to the teachers to say, look, this is a situation. You know, we have a thing at the moment with our kids where they have the reader, who are the fantastic people, absolutely wonderful people. And they come and do reading with all of our kids. But one of the things that they say is they go, you know, what should you do? At one point, they called me dad in front of them. And obviously, one of them, I'm an uncle, I'm not dad. And she was really, oh, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have. Yeah, I was like, no, just, you know, whatever feels comfortable. Yeah, they will correct you as they will. You know, they will correct you if you're wrong. That's not my dad, it's this. But it's very, very rare that they'll do that. But it's good to have that kind of context of, like, these are the people who are in their lives. This is not, you know, this person may act like their sister, but they're actually their cousin or their, your close friend, or they may be not related in any way. This is their uncle, but he calls him dad. You know, those type of things, and it's and it does really help. You know, one of the things I always used to hate as a kinship carer, especially at the beginning, was that you would do that like family tree where the social book would try and figure out who everyone was, and the life story book can be really handy with that to basically say, look, here are all the players in the game. That you don't need to ask me these questions. You've already got it there. But by putting more context into it, of saying, okay, this is the grandma, this is the grandpa, this is uncle, the auntie, whoever it is, this is their role. So it's a case of, you know, not going, you know, I'll give you an example with us. I am essentially the admin guy. You know, my wife is the one who will do the talks with the schools and things like that. But when it comes to, here's a load of paperwork that needs to be filled in, I'm the one that does that. I fill in the paperwork. I submit it. I go through the online things. I do blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I do all of that. And so if they're telling my wife about, okay, this thing needs to be filled in, it's this particular form, you need to get it online. She'll get it and then she'll just pass it on to me to do it. Whereas if they actually tell me, I'll probably either go, oh, yeah, I know where that is. Yeah, I've already got that bookmarked. It's on my to-do list or wherever it is, instead of trying to explain it to someone else. In the same way as, you know, if someone tells me about, oh, you know, there's this parents' evening because of my work, many of the time I can't go. But if, you know, if there's a parents' evening, it's this, it's this, it's this. You know, it really does help to have those moments to be able to say, look, this is what these people do. You know, we've got a daughter who's 17. She is old enough to pick up the kids from school, those type of things. With life stories, as I say, it's something that a lot of the social workers do evolve with, especially the special guardianship order team and life people afterwards. I would always recommend doing it. But just from what I'm saying at this point is that if you think, well, actually, I've got the life story work, it's not enough. Have a think about what you can add. Have a think about, you know, maybe you need to add the context of the story. You know, it's easy to say you were taken off your parents because of neglect, but maybe they need to know what the neglect was, because sometimes children don't understand neglect. You hear stories about children who just get on with it. They come home, you know, they come home from school and they start making their own tea. It's just what they're used to. They may not be aware that, okay, in a normal family, it's the parents who will do it, and maybe the kids will be involved. Or if the kids do it, it's usually a special thing, like, okay, we're going to have tacos, you're going to sort this bit out, you're going to cut the veg. It's very rare that a child up to the age of, say, you're 15, will come home and make their own full new tea. So it's about looking at that aspect and saying, look, this wasn't normal to say, you know, you were coming home and having to put your brother and sister to bed. That's not normal. Yes, it's great that you do it and it's wonderful and I understand why you do it, but you shouldn't have to do these things. So it really is a lot about sort of putting those contexts in place of saying, you know, if every day you're having to do things that you shouldn't have to do as a child. And remember, a child's up to the age of 18. So even, you know, even if you think you could have the most brilliant 17-year-old, and we do have an amazing 17-year-old, she shouldn't have to be sitting there figuring out what we're having for tea the weekend, or what we're going to be doing, or, you know, if the electric's gone off in the house, what she needs to do. Shouldn't have to do that. So it's really about getting those things in place and really, you know, having the thoughts about it. As I say, if you think that you can't write it yourself, have a word with someone, talk to someone about it. Say, you know, I've got the story. Do you want it? Even to me, you know, even to me, if you've been listening to the New Kinship podcast, that's obviously, it's a 6 episodes fully done. If you think, well, actually, I'd like to do that. I'd like to ring, you know, I can ring you up. We can talk about, you know, this is what it is, and I can write a couple of questions for you. You know, I've always wanted to do things like that, but it's just about time and place and everything. But, and even if you don't think you could do that, you haven't got the time and obviously things like that, even if you just get your voicemail thing and just say, look, I'm just going to tell you my story, and I'll happily slot it into an episode if you want that story to be told. If you think, well, actually, people will benefit from this, is what people need to know. You know, and I say all of our stories are really important, and the more that's out there, you know, I want it to be to the point where in a couple of years' time, I go into Waterstones and there's a whole shelf that's just Kinship. I want it to be like that. Unfortunately, and I've said this many times, and I say it in the book, actually, when I was writing it, there aren't many Kinship-specific books. There aren't many Kinship-specific podcasts. There's now, what, 2? It's still, when you compare it to podcasts about football, or podcasts about autism, or anything like that, there's obviously far few. So it's really about getting that word out and making people aware of it. And that's definitely something that I would recommend to everyone. So as always, if you want to get in touch with me, easiest way is through our social media, through the Facebook, Instagram, through the X, through our main website. However you're listening to us, I do appreciate anyone who listens. Please subscribe, like, share. If you auto subscribe, as I've said in the past, it will download it straight away. So when it comes up, it's there for you to listen to. So thank you very much for listening. My name's Davey, and listen to the Kinship Care Liverpool podcast.